things to mind an anecdote that I like to tell. Some of you have been around me before, I've heard this story before, but that's all right. Because one of the advantages of being an old conjurer is you can tell the same grand stories over and over and over again. Well, it's just a privilege. It's a deal. I'll tell the story. So, years ago, in the very sort of beginnings of the media century, some of the leaders put together what was meant to be a fundraising event. They went to this beautiful home, a very special one in Southern California. They hired a celebrity chef in Los Angeles to make an exquisite meal. And it was one of these expensive, I can't remember what it was, $100 to play, or I don't know what, I can't remember, but it's kind of a fancy event. Anyway, so after the meal, there was a fire pit in the back of this house, and so people there went out to the fire and sat around. And the chef and the staff, after they finished coming out, and being up to the joints of the fire. And so a conversation got to and he told the following story. That's the backstory to the story. This is the story of the story. Okay. So, this is a man who came from Germany and he immigrated to this country a few years before. And he rented a home in one of the high rent families outside of a very upper income neighborhood. And he said he was shocked to see how the people around him related to each other, his neighbors. He said he was surprised and dismayed to find out that the only time they even talked to each other was when they were visiting each other. Yeah. So he decided to do something about it, and this is what he did. He built a fire pit in the backyard. And every other, I think it was Wednesday, but the day doesn't exactly matter, but twice a month, he would produce an exquisite meal. People would eat the meal and they'd sit around by the fire. And he would invite to each of these a dozen people from the neighborhood who were least likely to ever say anything to each other. And so he just did this. He made wonderful food, he invited people to sit at the fire, and he said in a matter of months it transformed the neighborhood. Now people were driving each other's kids to school, they were sharing and talking with each other, they were entertaining people. Now, this great story is a true story, but it also relates to this question about protection. Because a community, a group of people, assisted by fire and living in a hot way and relating to each other in a hot way, automatically, you could say, there's a great deal of protection in that as compared to what it's like to live the other way. That conflict, actually harming each other, attracting all kinds of, you could say, negative or dangerous energies to alive and thrive in the community, because the people united by fire, that's a whole different story. And that's the way indigenous peoples, at least the ones that are still able to live in their traditional ways, that's the way they live. The ritual people, who are the people, the indigenous people, of course, to them, by far have most experience. Particularly strong relationship to fire. They're one of the very, very, very few people, at least in the Western Hemisphere, that are protected in a way that, unlike other peoples who have been decimated, in some cases completely exterminated by the forces of the dominant culture, genocide, and all kinds of terrible stuff. And therefore, most of them are living not Christians search for and forgiven to them, to protect them and to help them thrive. But each looks different. They're relatively small nation. They live in a very difficult part of the world in the sense that it's not rich in abundance and the fixed of their crops and hunting and other natural resources. No, it's very sparse. It's actually higher than difficult by our standards. But yet, they're still living by the ways that the fire